talking about relationship with the Lord, there is no greater theme than the pages of the Bible in the life of Moses, in the life of King David, in the life of Jesus, than how the emphasis was placed upon the words of prayer. Prayer is a relationship builder with God. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 20, we read where Moses is petitioning God, who has declared that he is going to destroy the living from the earth. As he did back in the days of Noah, he announces that that's the case now. And Moses begins an appeal to God. God says regarding his appeal, which he makes it on a logical basis, if you destroy this people as one man, he says, if you kill them as one man, the nations around here will never see your grandeur of mercy and glory and power. They'll never see it because these people were destroyed and all of their loved ones. And God says there in Numbers 14 and 20 that I have pardoned them according to your words. Can you imagine that we have words of prayer to God that will so endear us to God and so endear what we request to God that he would say to Moses, I will do according to your words. I will spare this people. He'll go on to say, however, I will take this group of people who have murmured against me, and 10 times, he says, they have resisted me. And from this verse 20 down to verse 30 in this chapter, you'll find in Numbers 14, God says, I will take them, and their carcass will lie waste in this wilderness, in this desert. They will all die from 20 years of age and older, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. I will spare them because they have a different spirit than the others. When you and I pray to the Lord with a different spirit, a spirit of closeness, a spirit that trusts his mercy, a spirit that breaks upon him the benefits of his grace and his mercy toward us, it's a wonderful, wonderful word of prayer. I believe I've heard those words here in this building uttered and spoken. They need not be just in this building. They need to be before we go to sleep at night. They need to be before we arise and go out our day activities. They need to be as we pray along the way. These kind of words that God will hear and that he will respond with us. God said there in this regard, as you read there in Numbers 14 on down to verse 30. He said, but these little ones, that they were so fearful of being destroyed by the presence of this wilderness. They were talking about these little ones. God's brought us out and he will destroy our whole family. These little ones will be destroyed. He said, those I will protect. I will deliver them into this promised land. They will eat of the vineyards that they didn't plant. They will eat of the fish in the waters that they did not have. They will be blessed of me. And those that will lie in the wilderness, desert, then the carcass is there, die away. People will read of this in years to come. And they'll know I am God. And they know that I am mighty. And they'll understand my nature. The prayer of Moses, verse 20 of Numbers 14, are in these words, I heard your prayer, and I pardon these people. Let's pray to God in such a way as that, believing that he can do and will do be serious with our prayers with God. Secondly, we go to David. And King David is one who is allowing life's troubles and difficulties to really torment him. The passage is found in Psalm 73. And as we read there regarding David, he talks about how that the Lord has allowed these wicked people, so wicked around him that they just are so tragic, so terrible. It's as though God is deaf and he doesn't hear at all what's been going on. And he says this because he is thinking this as one who is not really knowing God's word. Because in Psalm 73, as you read along there down to verse 14, you'll read that he felt like this. He felt God had just forsaken him. He felt like God didn't hear these wicked people, how that they were as they were. And here in Psalm 73, he says, "Until I went to the sanctuary of the Lord. There I heard the scripture read. There I understood the way of the wicked. How that thou, the Lord, hast set them in slippery places. And they suddenly will fall." He said, "I took comfort in that. I'm not one who wants to live that way. I'm not one who wants to be that way. And as the time I see the wicked and their successful ways of criticizing God, I think they're just in a slippery place. It's going to happen that they are suddenly down." We see here the prayer that David offers. And we see the understanding of the plight of the wicked. We see a lot of people in our day and time that are much like that, fighting against God in His way, looking successful as they live here. They may have the big mansions on the hill, they may have the big everything about life and the big bank accounts and all that goes along with it, until there is a sudden change. I'm afraid that we find then that they simply have no leg to stand on. They have nothing of which they could sell and appear. An appeal. Do we want to be that kind of person that is successful in the physical ways of life? Have the wonderful garden, have the wonderful set of monies and wonderful abilities to be understood by others to be wonderfully rich? And not be rich toward God, not be thinking about Him, not be planning for the idea that we're in a slippery place and we will fall. He has assured us the wicked will slip and fall. David tells us about the plight of those who are wicked. Now then to Jesus Himself and His prayer to the Heavenly Father. In John chapter 17, we see this prayer lined out. We see Jesus first praying about His own personal relationship with the Father and the Father having sent Him to do the will of the Lord. He says that, "I have done Thy will, O God." And He makes a petition to the Lord that tells us a lot about eternity before we ever came to this earth. He says, "Restore unto me the glory I shared with thee. Give back the glory I shared with thee before the world was." Before the heavens and earth and the sun was put in the sky and all that goes along with the world at large. Man's being created here upon this earth, put in a garden of paradise, taken from that garden of paradise and put into a world of uncertainty. Before any of this happened, there was a glory He shared with the Heavenly Father in heaven itself before the world was. He asked for that once again to be his. The Father was not going to hold that back from him, of course. Jesus goes on to pray for you and for me. As he prayed for his disciples, whom the Lord, Father of heaven, had given him, and brought them out of the world, even as I'm out of the world, not in the world. They are out of the world, and they do believe that thou hast sent me, he says. And in this regard, in a limited way, they did at that point in time, not like they would later on when the Holy Spirit came upon them and revealed back to them what Jesus had said. Then they became wonderfully strong. In Acts chapter 2, we see that power. And in Acts chapter 5, we see them saying it plainly. We must obey God rather than man. In regard to this matter, Jesus says, thank you, Father, for sending them to me and giving them to me. You keep them. And he mentions how that they can be kept from the wicked one. And this is where he comes up to you and to me. In John 17, beginning at verse 14. He says, Father, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. All those that they'll reach and convert to thee. Don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil that is in the world. We've got evil things all around us, of course. The internet systems have brought a quick response of anything typed in and those things that apply to it, the worldly standards say. I know of a young man who typed in order to help his ball team. He was guiding his ball team, and he wanted a set of baseballs to be sent his way. And don't do this unless you're prepared for what can suddenly happen on a computer. But there's a company he was aware of, and the catalog had been sent to him, and in reference to jugs. And so he typed in jugs as getting a company that dealt with baseballs. And of course what he got was a whole lot of women's apparel and women in and out of apparel in that way. So they assumed that number in the worldly market, that would be a word that would tie in to the women that they wanted to advertise. The idea that something can suddenly be in your place and mine has been stated a long time ago, and you're probably mama, daddy, grandpa, grandma said the following thing, you'll recognize it. You can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but it's another thing when they build a nest in your hair. You can't keep a bird from flying over, but it takes a lot longer time to bring a twig and bring another twig and bring another twig and have a little mucus there and bring another twig and a little mud there and build a nest in your head. The idea is here, when you and I have something to happen and we see it once, when we get ourselves a longing eye, and we move back to that again, and then again, and then again, and become overcome by it. Peter will say later in 2 Peter 2, the latter end will be worse than the beginning. It'll be better for that man, that person, to have never known the way of righteousness than to have known it and from this process turn away from it and find himself rejected by God. I believe you and I can benefit from the prayer life of Moses, and the prayer life of David, and the prayer life of Jesus in these matters. And our relationship with him can be close and can be wonderful. And every morning, noon, and night, as Daniel prayed in his time of captivity, we can find a relationship with the Lord, and maybe more often than that, because we find ourselves calling upon him. and understanding what these men said back there. Moses understood not as he began his prayer in Numbers 14, but as God spoke about it. I have heard thy words, and I have pardoned this people. The words of Moses made a difference. And I have no doubt his future prayers were a part of that heart. You and I can know that our words make a difference with him too. And we can pray that way, earnestly. We can be people that when we get caught up in the ways of the wicked around us and we just don't know why and what and how it's going to take place, we can remember Psalm 73 and David's words. The wicked that we see so successful are set in slippery places. And in those slippery places, they're going to slip and fall. It's going to be a pitiful thing. They'll have no recourse. No way of explaining it. No way but guilt will be in their courtroom. They lived in a wicked way, and they were in a slippery place. And let's fulfill the words of Jesus who prayed for us, that we not be taken out of the world. No, we're in a world, and we're part of it. And we try to take vitamins, and we try to exercise, and we try to find ourselves living longer than maybe time would allow. We find ourselves thanking the Lord for the separation of the cars going down the highway, and some of those cars zip past us and get so close to us when they're trying to pass us, and they just miss by 1 second, 2 seconds. You know, I was taught to count 1,000 and 2,000 and 3,000, and that's 3 seconds. And I can count a lot of times people zip by, and I can count 1,000, 2,000, and that other vehicle is just by. We were so close to something that would be tragic. No way we could have stopped in time. No way that debris would have gone everywhere else and not on us. We can thank the Lord for the fact that we live in the world, but to keep us from the evil that is in the world. Hope you've enjoyed and benefited from this lesson study, and that you can hear it again by way of our website. We still have 3,000 to 5,000 people that come to our website every month. Crockett MS Church of Christ is making a difference with people, and it was a wonderful difference. We've had responses from people all over the world in regard to our gospel meeting. You think that we rejoiced in the good meeting and good preaching that was done and everything? Oh, listen, and they respond to the songs that they've heard too. They want to hear more of the songs. They want us to separate the songs from the lessons so that they can hear the songs uninterruptedly. What a good thing to have that happen. From people all over the world. It's a blessing. And the opportunity that we have to do that, let's afford it to ourselves as well. You can hear it again. God bless you, and remember our closeness with the Lord in this song that we now sing. And remind you, if you need to come to the Lord tonight, please do so as we stand and as we sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus said, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the loving call, obey. Come, for he loves you so. Only a step, only a step. Come, for he blessed for you. Whoa.
Jesus.